All right, you primitive screwheads, listen up.
Do you know what the problem is with you kids today? You guys think that all science fiction started in 1977 with Star Wars.
We put the picture's name on everything.
Oh, look, he's got a billion toys.
Baseballs, the t-shirt.
What about movies like Forbidden Planet, The Day the Earth Stood Still, Solaris? What about Logan's Run?
Baseball's the lunchbox.
I have to possess this comic.
Baseball's the breakfast cereal.
I have a Mego Isis action figure.
Almighty Isis.
Baseball's the coloring book.
I say we stay here and fight it out.
Shut up, kid. You weren't even born when Star Wars came out.
You fuckers think that just because a guy reads comics he can't start some shit? I'll fucking take all you want.
This is Geek Stuff. This is Matt, and in studio tonight, I have with me Mr. Fantastic.
Yo.
And that's it. No Big Kev tonight.
Kind of creepy.
Little different than usual. Yeah, you know. He's out doing his thing. Been away for the past couple of weeks. He's out at the Penzic War.
What?
Yeah, exactly. It's Penzic War is pretty much this... Well, it's geeky, so it fits in. It's an SCA event, the Society for Creative Anachronism.
Using... That is geeky. So what is it?
It's pretty much... it's a group of people that do reenactments. And once a year, they have this huge event. It's like a two-week-long camping, battling event. And, you know, the big draw is this big battle that they have at the end. It's like a couple hundred guys... Live steel, beating the hell out of each other.
Roaming the rolling hills, the battlefield.
The rolling hills of the battlefield. It's exactly what it is.
So they set up regiments and charge at each other and beat the hell out of each other?
Yeah, something like that. I've never actually been there. I don't know that I could commit fully to Penzic. I do the Ren Fair on the weekend. I try to go at least every weekend, every Sunday or so. But
I don't think any less of you.
Well, that's good.
But that's just me.
I appreciate that. I don't have the two-week commitment, I don't think. Maybe I could do it for a week.
It's a big geek commitment.
It is. So yeah. It really is appropriate. So this is episode 20 of Geek Stuff. So now we have to name it. How about One Geek Shy?
Because Kev's shy?
No, because he's not here, you tool. Jeez. Yeah,
I got it.
Oh, okay.
I got it.
All right. Let's move on with this show.
He's not shy. That's why that was... Forget it.
No, he's not shy. Can we move on now with
the
show, with the episode?
Yeah.
All right. We're going to get right into it, even though I don't really want to, because it would appear that they've made an announcement that Katie Holmes is going to be reprising her role in the next Batman flick.
Oh, I loved her.
I'm sorry for you. No. I do think less of you. I don't even want to talk about it anymore. I'm ready to move right on. Move past Katie Holmes. She's useless.
Well, I'm sorry, but you really have no choice. I want to talk about one thing.
And now, here's Mr. Fantastic with It's News to Him.
She did bring two redeeming things to the movie, and that was in the ending scene when she was on the hilltop. She was wearing a very revealing sheer silk shirt, and she was beaming, if you know what I mean. And that was about it.
I'm Mr. Fantastic, and that's news to me.
You know, that was before she was violated, if I may say, by Tom Cruise. It's just not the same anymore. All the appeal went right out the window.
No, I just can't stand her face. It's almost like the Halle Berry of the DC universe for me. So,
yeah, wow. That's bold. That's rough.
Okay.
Thank God.
I'm done.
All
thanks.
Right, so let's move on.
Thank you.
Let's move away from there. But let's stick with other comic book movie stuff. We've got Jon Favreau finally starting to leak some stuff about Iron Man. Still no major casting news because they just recently hired a casting director. As a matter of fact, the only person that I've heard that's actually attached to the project definitely, although I can't remember his name right now, Terrence something or other, it's the guy from Hustle and Flow.
Mm-hmm.
Who I can't remember his name, so you can bash me later, but he's going to be playing the character in the Iron Man universe that eventually becomes War Machine.
Cool.
So that's about it. But what Jon Favreau has said that I like is that as far as the costume is concerned, we definitely will see a red and gold costume with the little circular emblem in the middle there.
Not the current triangular one?
No, not that ultimate Iron Man one, which is good. That's a good start. But he also said that we are going to see that gray costume, that bulky, gray, clunky, original Iron Man costume.
Now, I like that, and they did that in Civil War recently, too. They, when Tony Stark is giving a speech in front of the people, and he's trying to be a proponent of coming out and registering and doing the whole deal, the public deal, he shows two of the older armors and they're kind of floating next to him, I guess with the rocket boots, or he has them displayed. And you see the bulky metal one and you see the one with the circle from the 80s, I guess 80s era, early 90s style armor. And he says, you know, throughout the years, I've worn different armors, but it's always been me, even though I've quit and I've come back and quit and come back.
Yeah, I think it's really important because I think Jon Favreau is approaching the character in a good way. You know, he said that what he wants to be able to capture is the fact that Tony Stark created the armor initially to survive. It was more about survival than it was creating this machine and this, you know, this weapon as it becomes. And I think that's going to be an important part of the story. So I'm interested to see where he goes with that.
I like when they have a nod to history and the nod to the inside info.
Yeah, so do I. And, you know, I'm kind of wishy-washy on Jon Favreau as a director, but I don't know. We'll see what happens.
Is he fat or skinny now?
No, he is fat Jon Favreau.
He's like now. Oprah.
Yeah, he is. He is. He's not lean, mean swingers Jon Favreau. Wow. He's put on a couple. One too many Big Macs after Friends. Marvel has also made the announcement, or a pseudo-announcement, I should say, that they are, or it looks like they are going to continue the X-Men franchise with a fourth X-Men film, which we've talked about on the show before.
Yeah, we guessed that, yes. It's just way too successful to not do it again. That's my view.
What's important, though, or what they mentioned when they made this little announcement, is that none of the major players from the original three movies are signed on at all. None of them. Not even Patrick Stewart. Not even Ian McKellen, Hugh Jackman. None of them. The only people that are supposedly signed on or in line to do it are the younger generation mutants. Colossus, Kitty Pryde. I don't know about Iceman or Rogue, although I think they might be in there. Neither of them are doing much anyway. but I think that's pretty important. I think that's kind of what we said. We said that it was probably going to be a younger generation, a new school. I think it's important that Halle Berry not signed on. And I also think that the rumor that they might bring in Emma Frost as a character, as a teacher at the school, now has more basis. That potential is definitely there now for that.
That intrigues me. I'm excited for it. I'm excited to see who they, if they do choose Emma Frost, it means that there's a hot blonde somewhere in the wings. Like I said, I don't want to see Halle Berry again. I don't know how they're going to write some of the characters into it, like Rogue, who supposedly is now deprived of her powers by choice. Is she going to come back with the powers?
Well, we have to assume after watching the third movie that she gets her powers back, right?
Right.
So yeah, my guess is that, you know, she has her powers back and she ends up being, you know, a recluse from society again, and she has to turn to the only place she knows that she can turn to, the mansion.
Man, is that weak.
Yeah, well, it's weak, but can't you picture it completely happening in the film?
Yes.
Like in the first 20 minutes.
I wonder who the next blue character is going to be. Who else is there?
Next blue character.
It could be a villain, like Apocalypse.
It could be Apocalypse.
But I don't see how they'd really...
Well, they'd have to bring in a new villain if Ian McKellen's not signed on. So the potential is there. You never know. I'm trying to think, is there anybody else that's blue? Well, Archangel becomes that kind of blue and purpley looking.
Well, they should do character. Something with him, considered he just basically flew out of a window and then caught his father, and that was it.
Did nothing. He was useless.
And
let's move away from
he
that.
He still shows up at the mansion, just... Suddenly he's in the man. Let's move on.
He shows up to annoy me. That's why he showed up. Let's move away from Angel and let's move away from Marvel and go right back to DC with Superman, the Superman sequel, which every day it seems to change. Yesterday there was a Superman sequel. Today, maybe not going to happen. Tomorrow, maybe will again. It all seems dependent on these box office numbers. I know it didn't do as well as they had hoped right out of the gate.
Yeah.
I know that Bryan Singer is very interested in doing a sequel and possibly even a third one, although we know his track record with trilogies. He might bail after the second one. But the news really is that apparently Jude Law is in talks with Warner DC to potentially come in as General Zod.
A young General Zod or Zod as we know him?
Well, it can't be a young General Zod. It wouldn't make sense.
No, it wouldn't.
If the first movie or the new movie, Superman Returns, right, takes place after Superman 2, right, so making this technically the new Superman 3, then this would be Superman 4, and Zod's already established by this point. He can't be a young Zod. It's got to be an old Zod. Don't know how they're going
to
do it.
Zod, either way, it looks like a good choice to me.
Yeah, well, again, it's an established character as far as the movies are concerned. There's definitely a fan base to see some form of Zod return, so I think it's the right way to go. But who even knows if they're going to make the movie at this point?
I don't know, but if they do, I kind of do hope that it is Jude Law for the single reason that he was in so many goddamn movies, like last year around this time,
right,
or 2 years around this time. It was like every movie that came out had Jude Law somewhere in there. He might as well come out and play a character who I actually care about, not some womanizer or some... Well, he was in Aviator? Was that what he was in?
No. He was in Sky Captain in The World of Tomorrow.
Oh, right.
Right?
Oh, he didn't play Errol Flynn? Yeah,
I think he
did. In
The Aviator?
Yeah.
He might have.
Yeah.
I don't know.
He was good in that.
Yeah. I liked him in Sky Captain, too. I mean, I thought he was good in that.
But
too,
I think Jude Law, you can do better.
Yeah, I hope so. I hope Bryan Singer does bring him on if they do decide to do a second movie.
I hope he gets the chance.
And I actually have one more thing that I need to touch upon. I need to share this with the world because I don't think that people are backing me on this, with a few exceptions. And you don't know about this. It's a surprise.
Hit me.
Have you watched or have you attempted to watch at all Who Wants to Be a Superhero?
I was like, what if I say no to this? This isn't going anywhere. No, I haven't attempted to watch it, although I have read about it.
Okay. I'm going to come out and say it. I love it.
I've heard good things, too.
I'm addicted to it. I think it's a great, great show. I think they're really handling it properly. I really thought it was going to just be a lot of fluff and a lot of hokiness. And to a certain degree, it is. And that is in there in the bad special effects. But how they're handling the show, I think, is really, really creative.
I've had some people approach me because they know I'm associated with yourself, Matt, and
right,
Big Kev, and what's going on here. And I'm sorry I haven't seen it.
That's okay.
However... they're, I'd say, pretty straight on the level, mainstream type people. And they came to me with positive feedback saying, I think you'd like it. It's pretty good. And asking me questions about it, like, oh, you should go on the show. They have no clue how much of a geek I'm not and how much of a geek I am. So why is it good, though?
Well, it's, first of all, it's fast. It's fast paced. You know, a lot of these shows, a lot of these reality shows, it's, you know, God knows how many episodes, and it's one person's eliminated every episode. And by the end of the season, you're like, I don't even care anymore who's going to win. Just show me the winner.
The worst is the episode where nothing happens, which is like half of them.
But see, two people have consistently been eliminated every single episode so far.
On what grounds are they eliminated? How do they decide?
Well, You know what? It seems like it's almost up to Stan Lee completely. It's really on a whim at times, it seems. For example, the first person to be eliminated from the show, right? It was before they even actually started the show. They had the auditions. They picked their final 10, I think, or 8, whatever it was. They were on their way to the secret hideout. And on their way to the hideout, they're having these conversations about, you know, they're talking about what they do in their real lives when they're not their superhero persona. And one guy is talking about how he's an artist and he designs action figures and how he wants to be able to design a figure based on his character and, you know, make a little bit of money off of it. And he's kind of joking. They get to the front of their secret lair and Stan Lee's like, yeah, superheroes aren't greedy and aren't in this for profit. You're eliminated. And he kicked the guy off the show. It was like 10 minutes in. That was great. That's good shit. And it's been like that every episode. It's been like, you know, it's like he tricks them. He tricks them into doing stuff. And he really is testing them for qualities that you would associate with a superhero. Uh-huh. Greed and envy and making fun of other people. Superheroes would never do that. You know, turning your costume. It's fucking great. It's really hokey, but it's so addictive. And they also kicked a guy off the show last week, episode 3, I think it was. And as he's leaving the show, it's the big dramatic music, and he's walking out all sad-faced. Stan Lee pops up on a little TV screen in the background, and he asks the guy to come back on the show as a supervillain. And now he's a villain against the people he was just teammates with. I really think it's good. I don't think people are giving it enough of a chance, and I think they need to. I think you should definitely check it out. It's on Sci-Fi. It's on every Thursday night. And let us know what you think about it. I've heard back from a couple of people that are kind of like, well, maybe, but no real, real strong feedback yet. So I think everybody should at least give it a shot.
That's cool. I promise I'll check it out.
All right.
I've been really trying, baby.
Hey there, you sexy geek. Don't miss a single episode of Geek Stuff. Available every Monday at BigKevsGeekStuff.com. You know you want it.
Let's get it on. Let's get it on.
Hey, this is Samuel L. Jackson from Snakes on a Plane, and you're listening to Big Kev's Geek Stuff.
It's just no good anymore since you went away. Now I spend my time just making rhymes of yesterday.
You just talked right over it. It was recording and now we got it, baby. So, Matt, we're back. Episode 20. This is a 20th anniversary episode.
It is.
It can only be an anniversary if it's years, I guess, right? Because the anniversary, that's what that means?
Sure.
No?
Yeah.
Shaking her head?
Yeah. Years.
All right, whatever. It's the 20th anniversary episode of Geek Stuff. Big Kev's Geek Stuff. One geek shy.
That's right.
And Matt, I'm not going to be shy. I want to tell you about something.
All right. Go for it, man.
Unlike you and Kev, I may not be a big geek in that sense of the word, but I do love Legos.
Okay. Not wrong with Legos.
I've kind of had my eye on a line that Legos has put out since January 06.
All right.
And it's called ExoForce.
Yes.
And it's basically their mech exo armor line.
Mm-hmm.
It's on the same scale as the older city castle space that I grew up with is, and it's Legos brought into this violent decade. Let's put it that way. You know, that when I was young, we'd build Legos and you'd try and build a robot and you'd be like, all right, now this robot can walk, but really there were like no points of articulation and you would just kind of like swagger side to side, put 1 foot down, 1 foot up. But now this thing, I don't know how many's in here, but it's like 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, it's got to be like 8 or 9 points of articulation. It's a full functioning robot with a like a melee weapon on one side. This particular one happens to be a power saw and a laser cannon on the other. It has a light, kind of this fiber optic cable that goes in the center. You hook it up to this LED that just happens to be the way that it's constructed. You push down on a couple parts and you have this, you know, energizing light that gets you in the mood. You can pew, pew, play. Like, look, I love it. Just looking at it. So anyway, people got to check it out.
It's pretty cool. It's definitely unique for Lego, I have to say, and really kind of for toys in general. I mean, we're talking about a product that's meant for like ages 7 to 14, right? So it's a younger generation product, which, by the way, the 7, seven age tag on it, little shaky on that with some of the articulation with that thing. I mean, it took you, what, 30, 40 minutes to put it together? And, well, and how old are you?
When I put it together, let's not talk about that. I'm over 14.
Exactly.
When I put it together, I was taking my time.
Right.
On purpose, because I was relishing in the actual participating in Lego part of it.
Sure, I love
Legos. You know, I was like, all right, how am I going to build this piece? And then I looked at the directions and, like, you know, three times and said, okay, planned it out. Like, took a very engineering approach to it and just loved doing it because I'm a nerd. So, but yeah, there's like, how many pieces in this line? It looks like there's four large mechs. The Grand Titan, Thunder Fury, and there, what would you say this is? About just shy of 12 inches high, maybe 6 inches wide. And each of them has two arms, two legs, and they have enough points of articulation to walk. They're kind of a Mech Warrior, Mech Assault.
Yeah.
Inspired, I'd say.
Yeah, they definitely have an anime feel to them. And actually, I'm looking at the packaging here on this piece. And it's got like a little cartoon flavor text thing going on inside of the packaging, and it's very anime based. I mean, the little kid that's in it is definitely anime style, and the action sequences and the landscapes is actually very reminiscent of old school Transformers, or at least that's the kind of feel that I'm getting.
Mm-hmm. I could see that
getting from it. I'm really caught up by the fact that the thing has weapons. I mean, I don't know recently, but I remember as a kid, for the most part, they never had, I mean, like the castle had weapons, you know, it had like a catapult and like you'd pop like some guy's head off and put in a little catapult and march head across the thing.
Are good. This is exactly where I want to go because this thing is so violent. One of them comes with a flamethrower. Yes. Another comes with a saw, a laser gun, like a laser cannon. This one looks like a Vulcan cannon or like repeating laser, things that you would see in like, you know, 40K, Warhammer 40K, modern sci-fi inspired death filled universes. And now it's like they took a little of the imagination out of it and, you know, said this thing. Look at this thing is completely molded. You know, when I was a kid, you'd try and build something that kind of looked like a saw. This thing you just pop on there and it's a saw arm sword thing.
It's really impressive, and it really doesn't strike me as the age range that they're targeting it for. It really looks like it's an older age range, although I don't think that Lego could successfully put a toy on the product, toy on the market, rather, and put like an 18-year-old age range on it and have it sell successfully. I think they almost kind of know what they want to do, but they have to dumb down the age so that they can get it into a store. I don't know if Toys R Us would carry it with an 18-plus tag on it.
Well, maybe we should talk about my other Lego obsession throughout college, which was the Lego Mindstorms.
I don't remember those.
Oh, well, you don't remember them because there's three sets of Lego Mindstorms out now. They're currently in the third iteration, and it's called Mindstorms NXT, assuming for next. Basically features a computerized brick that has inputs and outputs on it where you can power motors and plug in sensors, things like touch sensors, LED sensors. Now they have ultrasonic sensors where they basically sense distance, electromagnetic compass. And the original version started with a very simple, child-friendly programming interface where you'd basically build a program out of these little graphical blocks, kind of like you would draw something in Photoshop or Paint or whatever.
Right.
But you'd say, you know, walk forward for this amount of time, fire the left engine, fire the right engine, things like that. Or motor, rather, engine, trying to buy a car. So the newer version, however, is just awesome. It's $250. It's Bluetooth enabled.
Okay.
It comes with firmware or, you know, computer system on it that is upgradable. You can download third-party ones that hackers or nerds have sit around and basically write more complex ones like C and Java and C++, things like that, program for it. It's completely geared toward not only kids in school who go to rich schools who can afford, you know, multiple sets at $250 a pop,
right,
plus all the hop-on kits and things like that, but guys like me who want to buy it for $250. I just couldn't bring myself to do it. I was at Walmart and I saw it there for $250, and I was like, man, I got to have that. But am I going to go home with a $250 Lego set and splay it out on the table and start playing?
It's a robot also? It's some sort of robot?
Well, the main showcase piece that you can build with it is a robot.
Okay.
I would say fully animated robot. It walks. It has ultrasonic sensor at the head because it kind of looks like eyes.
Okay.
It has a touch sensor on each side. They kind of built these new cool servo motors into it where not only do you fire it and say go at speed 5, you can tell the motor to go to a certain angle, which really gives you additional functionality in making it walk and things like that. So it, not only does it look impressive if you just were to build it like you would with normal Legos and then play with it, you can really do some cool things from a programming, artificial intelligence, you know, just uber geekdom perspective that if you really want to get into it, you can get into it deep to the point where they use certain parts and select suites of parts in, like, you know, MIT programming classes, and in my particular school they use it for an AI class, and it was fun. It was fun to, you know, play around with. And
wow,
it's, you get to build a robot, but you don't have to worry about all the soldering and bending of metal and cutting your fingers on sharp pieces and things like that.
What kind of distance does it have? I haven't seen it, so I'm trying to picture it in my head. I mean, is it attached to this main board by a wire, or is it free?
No, the way it works is one of the bricks is maybe a fist-sized brick. It was formerly called the RCX, now called the NXT, which has, you know, additional functionality, better computer on it and things like that. And the way that you just build the model is it's generally situated somewhere in the center of the model, and you have wires going to all the sensors, and it's battery operated. You download the program to it from some kind of either like transponder, like a little IR tower or Bluetooth in the newer case. And once the program's on there, you select the program and run it, and you can do anything that you can pretty much think of and put into programming language, which has been proven is almost anything.
Wow.
And it's cool. I want it.
I want one too, and I'm not even that into it, but it sounds awesome.
Now, once you see the box, you got to check out the box, and check out all the cool, like, prefab directions that it comes with.
Right.
And then, you know, you're like, oh man, I can improve this in this little way that it's just, I got to buy it and try it. It's called
Mindstorm?
It's called Lego Mindstorms.
All right, I'm going to have to go check it out now.
And the latest one is, I saw for $249.99. It's called Lego Mindstorms NXT.
Awesome. I'll definitely check it out. But I want to get back to these ExoForce real quick, because I'm not done with them. And something you said earlier really kind of has me thinking. And this is where I'm going to take my geekiness and I'm going to apply it to these Legos and bring them to another level. My gaming geekiness.
Yeah.
You mentioned 40K before.
Yeah.
And I'm thinking to myself, you could totally make a game out of these, a tabletop game out of these things, right? I mean, they're Legos, so they come apart. So you could, like, you know, have like combat maneuvers where you blast off arms. You can actually remove the arms. You can disarm them, take the weapons off.
Swap weapons.
Yeah. Well, like, how many are there? There's you said, like, what, there's four or five? What do we have?
There's four larger pieces.
Okay.
Each of them comes with two main weapons, and it always looks like one kind of, like, you know, machine gun style gun on the turret or where the pilot sits. And it looks like there's a double-sided sword as a melee weapon. There's the Stealth Hunter that comes with a double-sided sword and wings and a laser gun, it looks like. Grand Titan comes with, like, a crusher claw-looking thing and a double laser cannon. It's kind of like a plasma gun-inspired thing.
Right.
There's the one that I, particular one that I have is the Thunder Fury. Comes with the power saw blade and the laser cannon. It's like a giant laser cannon. Fire Vulture comes with a kind of like a double hook claw. Like a fan mechanism to fly.
Oh, nice.
As like a jetpack, which is cool looking. Some little lasers and a flamethrower complete with a canister and piping. There's also this thing called the Sonic Phantom, which is the vehicle, kind of a double fan VTOL thing. And then there's the uplink and the sentry, one for the you know, the good guys and the bad guys. The bad guys are robots. Good guys are these anime-inspired guys. And those are kind of the mini mechs.
Yeah, so I'm thinking now your whole backstory for this, it's kind of like, you remember that awful movie in the late 80s, the early 90s, maybe Robot Jocks?
Awful.
Crash and burn, baby. I mean, but that's what it's like, you know? Like, these giant-scale robots, you got the little dudes inside. Yeah. You totally could play a tabletop game. A couple of dice, some sort of ruler, some sort of terrain, and you totally have a game in front of you.
Yeah, you can come up with rules for movement, you know, attack, armor.
Yeah.
You got different pilots. You could have ground troops because you can use Lego system scale or minifig scale, as they call it.
Yeah, well, what I'm thinking is you can kind of use these as the base, right, for your game, but then you can kind of incorporate other Lego products in there to kind of do ground troops and stuff like that. I picture moving like a whole army of little Lego men in against this one giant mech robot and this like last stand to the death.
Just having them crawl all over it.
Yeah,
got those guys with the wooden spears jamming them up in the robot parts. Which, by the way, and you're probably familiar that you probably know that we're not original in thinking this up. There's like a bunch of different Lego rules on the internet, Lego Wars, Brick Wars,
I'm sure,
that you can get, and other people have published. But it's always the most fun to make it up yourself, and a line like this is particularly suited to do just that because of the modular nature of each of the weapons.
Right.
And the, you know, that's the just the way Lego works. You know, you can swap legs and swap arms and bricks.
Yeah, sure.
All the way down to the brick level. So
I don't know. I think it's a great product. I think it has more than one use if you really are willing to give it a little bit of time. And I think I might have to pick some up.
And it's way better than those molded Bionicle toys.
Yeah.
Which are being forced down our throats.
Yeah, well, they're peg cloggers also. You see all the clearance pegs at Toys R Us now. So
I mentioned before that these kind of take the imagination out of it. Maybe I'm rethinking that. They kind of take the hard labor out of making these.
Right.
You know, particular Lego models. Bionicle, however, takes the imagination out. The pieces snap together. Yes, they're interchangeable,
but
there's absolutely no resourcefulness needed to build the thing.
Yeah.
It's just another figure that comes in a can with masks. You swap the masks, you know.
Right.
And they have a Knights line, too, which is similar to Bionicle now. And coming off that disappointment, I was disappointed to see those pushed out there, and I really do like this Exo-Force.
So, boo to Bionicle. Thumbs up to Exo-Force. Check it out.
What's up, everyone? This is Kenneth Robert Marlowe, voice actor for the anime series Gravitation and Genshiken. You have a shop that deals in toys, comic books, and other geek-related stuff? Maybe you're an artist? Perhaps you got a band you want to promote? It's a good thing to know that the Geek Stuff audience is growing week by week. Perfect place to advertise your shop, your artistry, or your band gigs. Shoot an email over to bigkevsgeekstuff@gmail.com and talk to them about advertising right here on the show. Once again, that's bigkevsgeekstuff@gmail.com.
To present you with something from our secret stash that was recorded one time before we started the show.
Okay.
We just happened to have the mics on, and I think that something good came of it. Here it is. So I want to tell you a little story.
Okay.
Well, particularly Kevin, because I know that you know already.
Oh, okay.
because we had his conversation
briefly. Is it the brain cancer?
On
is
the
it
interweb. Back? No, the brain cancer is
the
not
the interweb.
Back. In fact, my eye is regaining sight by the day. It's the slowest healing
is
factor
that right?
you've ever seen.
Is that right, Peter Parker?
So, Kev.
Yeah.
You may have heard of, at a certain point in time, file sharing services like Napster, Kazaa, Nutella,
yes.
Acquisition.
I've
these
used
things.
These
you
things.
May have even used them yourself.
Yes.
And you may have heard of BitTorrent or other peer-to-peer protocols that are used to share files.
Usually I hear of these things when you're yelling at me that I should be using them.
True. And that's what we're talking about. So I want to get your feedback and on a trend that's been going on for a while.
Is it Cabos?
No, it's not Cabos.
I love Cabos.
But
we
it sounds
do
like
show
Cabos. It's because it's comics. Because there are hordes of comics available for free online.
Oh, yeah. Released
by scene groups
I've
that you can pick up over BitTorrent in, say, a couple hours.
Yeah.
I've so heard you of can this. Basically get all of DC Comics for a certain
yeah.
year.
Yeah, they have it. They have a, yeah, they have it runs.
Scene releases for a week. All the comics that come
yeah,
out in a week.
I've seen it.
Or you can get all of Ultimate Spider-Man, say issues 0 to 75, including all variant covers and blah blah blah.
Uh-huh.
So what do you think about this? What do you think it does for the industry? And what do you think people like me who read them? What do you think of us?
Well,
am I a scumbag?
No.
I mean, I buy comics, but there's no way that I could ever buy this many comics and read them.
I don't think that people who do this. It would be like calling guys who do the same thing with music a scumbag. I think it's a way around it, but you still get to enjoy the material. And what's unfortunate is that the price of comics keep rising and rising, and yet the content isn't really getting any better.
Right.
Although I have to say, I just read Civil War issue 3 today.
Mm-hmm. Which I read because I've read all of Civil War
and it was,
up to date because of this phenomenon.
And it was good.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm really liking Civil War.
You know what? I like it as well. Some of them are slow. Some of the side stories are a little slow.
Yeah.
But if it were to be released as some trade, I'd buy it and I'd read it.
I think that if Joe Quesada heard me saying that, he would probably faint.
Probably.
But I don't know where they're going to go with it. In other words, it's a 12-issue series. I don't see how they're going to end it. But getting back to the point.
Wait, say again, 12-issue series.
It's a 12-issue series.
It's a mini-series.
It's
Civil
a mini-series.
War is a mini-series.
Civil War, the book itself, but then the Civil War storyline goes throughout other issues
well, yeah,
of
goes
other,
through other
comic
things.
Titles,
yeah, yeah,
right?
yeah. But the point is that it's...
In theory, it should start and wrap within the context of those 12 issues.
So if
and then it'll,
to,
if
right,
it has any effect.
And get the whole...
How's it gonna, right, how are they going to play it out is what I'm saying. Because they'll never be able to fix Spider-Man.
Right. And right. Well, that's the thing.
That
how's it going to affect...
Right.
How is it going to affect the Marvel books in the future?
Right.
How far
whole,
is it going to go into the future?
There's a whole bunch of rumors and speculation going on about what else they're going to do. I hear they're going to kill Sue Storm.
Really?
That's what I heard. I heard she's going to die. There's a bunch of crazy stuff that they're talking about going on. But
really,
let's,
is that a
let's
big
not
loss
stray.
Anyway?
Well, it is if it fundamentally changes the Fantastic Four, which it would.
Not only that, but if they kill Sue Storm, doesn't that mean no Franklin? Oh, no, Franklin's not...
Not the what?
No, Franklin's not a time traveling thing.
No.
That wasn't a time traveling point.
No, that's their kid.
That's their kid, yeah.
He's just incredibly powered and
Right.
I mean, if you read books like Earth X and stuff, you know, if you take Earth X as canon, then you know Franklin has a much larger destiny ahead. And but Sue is dead in those books as well. So, and that fundamentally changes Reed Richards, and Reed Richards is one of the most brilliant guys in that universe or universes.
Right.
And
Universe Psi.
That fundamental change in his character will have lasting ramifications for everybody. So, I mean, I can see where they're going. And if that rumor is true, then, I mean, obviously it's going to change a lot of things. And obviously the Spider-Man thing is changing a lot of things. And the fact that they're fighting each other is changing a lot of things. I mean, there's lots of change. And the question is where they're going to go. But we are way off point.
Yeah.
Well, I got a question for you. I got two more questions.
Okay.
One thing. Well, one's a question and one's a claim. First, the claim. Claim is I've read all of the Ultimates up until issue 8 or 9 of Ultimates 2. I don't know what the most current is.
Okay.
And it is awesome. Yeah. And I don't read a lot of comics, but I do read enough to say, okay, I'm reading this book and I'm having a tough time getting through it because it's just not good. And I can pretty much identify that.
Mm-hmm.
And I see where the Ultimates is the modern reincarnation of, you know, the Avengers and stuff. And the whole movie take that they have on the Avengers, you know, you got a lot of movie style, widescreen angles, kind of like you can picture cutscenes blending together. It's kind of like you're reading storyboards with the text in them. And there are, it's awesome. And some of the actual stories, they really got me going. I mean, I got, if you look at some of the covers, they're intentionally misleading as to what would happen in the story. Like they'll show something in the cover that the exact opposite happens in the story.
Well,
and the whole time you're saying to yourself, can it be? Can it really be?
You know what that? It's like clever editing in a trailer for a movie.
Exactly.
It's where like they show one thing and you take it out of context for the trailer, but then when you actually see the film, it's something totally different.
So what do you think of it? Is my question, first of all. Well, that was my claim.
What do
so.
I think of Ultimates?
What do you think of the Ultimates? Yeah.
I like all the Ultimate books. I like the idea. I just don't like the fact that that there's not more attention being paid or continuity attention being paid to the regular universe books. I think the Ultimates are great, and it's exactly what you're talking about. It's exactly a modern, updated version of those characters, and they're presenting it in a cinematic style is what you're referring to. And the cinematic style is being done a lot of places now for that very reason, because they want to sell that property to a film.
It's so accessible. It's very accessible.
Yeah.
You want
to... Well, no, what I was going to say was, in regards to the Ultimate books, in regards to Marvel in general, I think it's really, I think what maybe they're trying to do, and it's not even maybe, that's what it is, they are trying to do, is they relaunched the Marvel Universe, and to a certain degree, they're maintaining some sort of continuity between the Ultimate books, and that's something that they can't go back and correct now in the regular Marvel universe. So if they continue to treat it the same way and they continue to hold on to that continuity, they're almost trying to make up for the faults that have existed for years in the regular Marvel universe.
Yeah, and it's gotten so bad over in the regular Marvel universe now that I mean, it's almost the analogy of painting yourself into a corner doesn't really quite cover it well enough. I mean, because you could walk out with paint on your feet. But the point is that... it's kind of, they've gotten to a point now where they're doing things that are so ridiculous. Like any move after Civil War with regards to Spider-Man is going to be moot. What's the whole point? Whole point is of his character is that he is this guy and then he is Spider-Man and trying to protect that identity and those that he loves and all that stuff. And Captain America in issue 3 had the best line. You know, it was something along the lines of, yeah, tell me how glad you are that Sandman knows what MJ's zip code is or something like that. It was a brilliant line. It shut Spider-Man right the hell up. And really, it's like, that's it. They've totally, in a way, they've ruined the character. They've torn out his fundamental roots.
You know what it is? I read Civil War and the Ultimates kind of in parallel, and going back and forth, bouncing, hitting some Young Avengers at the time too. And I did like it. It was confusing as all hell, and there was a whole bunch of load of crap going on, but I dredged through it, and I figured it out. Yeah, and I enjoyed it. I don't know where the hell they're going with it now, with the current stuff, but the contrast between the Ultimate Universe and the standard Marvel Universe, what is this called? The Marvel Universe, right? It's just
loosely.
It's so inaccessible. When you're reading it, you feel like you're saying to yourself, I don't know anything about this universe. I don't know anything about these characters that have gone in the past. And no matter how much they try and say, okay, you know, this happened in the past. And in some spots, especially in Civil War, they actually say, you know, the House of M, the Age of Apocalypse, and they speak of these things, the name of story arcs, like they are past events. And me not having read all those, yet having somewhat of an idea of what went on, kind of lost and kind of don't have an appreciation. Well, whereas the Ultimates,
you need.
That's I go
the,
cross
the other
book,
problem with the Marvel Universe.
And I'm there.
Right. The other problem with the Marvel Universe or Marvel books these days is that they do not pay enough. And if there are little spots in there where they're referencing other story arcs and other books, that's certainly an advance over what they've been doing.
Sure.
Back in the day, we're talking like the 80s. There would be panels, or at the very least, sort of a little. would you call that, kind of a footnote.
Yeah.
Where it would tell you directly
what reference
that you could go and check out if you want to find out what this is all about. And if they felt like that it went back far enough, or it was a book that people maybe were not able to get, you would get panels of that book explaining what was going on within the story. Mm-hmm. There's none of that anymore. There's none of it. I mean, if you're saying that they're popping a few of those really current references in to Civil War, I say it's to sell trade paperbacks.
Well, this is actually what I wanted to say. I think the problem with those little footnotes that they used to have was that a lot of the times it would reference stuff, and it was great that it pointed you in a direction, but sometimes it would point you in a direction to something you couldn't find. But with the accessibility of trade paperbacks and bringing it back to where we started with this stuff that you can get online now, you actually can find these reference points. If it points you in a direction, you can find something, as long as it took place within the last, like, maybe 5 to 7 years, probably.
Yeah, but I don't think that's going to be always the case, because I think that, I mean, I've already seen for sale at cons complete Spider-Man. I mean, from Amazing Fantasy 15 to yesterday, you know, like every issue, every page,
I've seen it on
CD-ROMs. I mean, and that's great. I think that's fantastic. The problem is with what you're saying, Matt, is you're right. It's all out there. And you know what? You know, in a way, in one way or another, you will always be able to find the issue that supports what's going on now.
Right.
But the problem is Marvel is no longer pointing you in that direction. Or if they are, they're pointing you very loosely and very vaguely and only very recently, like maybe just starting again with Civil War.
But I think they might be starting again because they realize that there is accessibility to the product. Maybe. Because for a while, when there was no accessibility, it didn't make sense to point you. Why point you to an issue that the regular guy can never, ever find
in
a back issue box, in a store, or online?
That's another point that makes these collections so goddamn good, is that I got the Ultimate Star Wars collection, and the way that it's organized by whoever compiled this release, and just as a side note, they consider themselves to be like preservation societies, and they're into this hardcore.
Yeah,
you know, for a reason, and there's philosophy behind it, mm-hmm. other than just the fact that reading free comics.
Yeah.
You know, and like you said, I think it causes people to buy comics. It causes me to buy comics. Well, back to the point is that if you get a torrent file and you download all the files and you open up your zips or your RARs or whatever you have, out of there comes something that's usually pretty well organized. And you can, in the case of the Star Wars one, it's organized by years, by the Star Wars Reckoning, the before or after the Battle of Yavin. And you can read it chronologically if you want.
Right.
According to the Star Wars universe. Also, there's chronological X-Men, basically archives available out there where you can go to, I guess it's, you know, X-Men, Marvel Presents, wherever they first appeared, start off right at issue one and take it to the current day and see the evolution of the books themselves and the story.
Right.
For somebody like me, who's, for all purposes, an idiot when it comes to this, that helps.
Well, and just to bring it back to where we kind of started and a point you just made as far as you think that it causes people to buy books, I think it is similar to music that you can find online, and even movies to a certain extent, because a lot of times what happens is if you find something you really like or you really enjoy and you have some sort of digital file of it or some sort of computer file for it, a lot of times it will force you to go out. Well, not force you, but it will lead you to go out and actually own it in your hand, even if it's just to put it on a bookshelf as a representation of something you've really enjoyed reading. You want to have the original. You want to have an actual tangible copy of it. And in that way, I think it does help.
Oh, absolutely. And you get that all the time, especially the way they're presenting things these days. For example, today, Kingdom Come, the Ultimate Edition, came out today.
Okay.
Which is basically an oversized hardcover slipped case version of one of DC's most popular stories of all time, with all sorts of supplemental material and so on and so forth. Something they used to do in slipcase volumes, regularly sized hardcovers with another. In the case of Kingdom Come, there was actually two books. It was the book as presented, which was all the issues combined into one beautiful hardcover book, And then a second hardcover book with sketches and notes and supplemental materials and so on and so forth. And both of those volumes in a beautiful slipcase, you know, but the standard size of the comics. What you have out now is an oversized version with, I presume, the same sort of materials inside in one volume, slipcased, beautiful slipcase. And this is the trend now. This is the trend, is to do this. And you want those, you want that tangible. I mean, I want that book. You know, I want League of Extraordinary Gentlemen volumes 1 and 2 in a big oversized slipcase on
my. We can't count you though. You want everything, and you have everything.
No,
so
I neither. No, that's not true. I don't want everything, and I don't have everything. I certainly don't have everything I want.
Hey, almost. Come on.
Well, I mean, I have a lot, but I mean, I don't have everything that I want. But the point is that. You know, if it is something that you love that much, like the Watchmen, you know, like there's a, I definitely have that. I mean, there's a large slipcase edition of the Watchmen that encompasses all the material that are out, that's out about Watchmen. And if you're a fan of that book, you want that edition.
Sure.
You know, and it's like $75 or something, but worth every penny.
So anyway, I'm digging it.
Yeah, I think it's great.
And it works because I own The Watchmen now, and I own Ultimates Volumes 1 and 2, and I own X-Men, Ultimate X-Men 1 through 5 already. And, you know, I'm reading other stuff, but that's what's, you know, planting the seed and getting me out there to buy it.
Sure.
As long as you don't, you know, if we ignore the market for too long, there'll be no market.
Right.
So it's, but it's the same thing with music. I still buy CDs. I'm buying that Clerks 2 soundtrack the day it comes out.
Sure.
Even though I could download every one of those songs on Cabos right now, and it would take 5 seconds, but I want that CD.
Well, look, I mean, I download a song or two here and there, and then if I really like those songs, it normally inspires me to go out and pick up the entire album.
Hey, what's that CD right behind you on that pile, on the top of that pile? Here? Yeah, what's the one on top?
This is the Best of Poison.
There you go, Best of Poison.
Wow.
Still in the shrink wrap.
Still a brandy new.
Look at you.
And just as a testament of Kevin's buying habits, there are at least a dozen, maybe 20 other CDs right under it.
Right.
Yeah. I mean, there are CDs that I want, but there isn't a thing over there that I couldn't download for free.
Oh, sure.
You know?
Sure.
That's absolutely right.
No, I don't curse you for doing it. I don't say that it's necessarily a bad thing. If anything, if it gets you to read other things, then
it's a good thing.
It's a good thing. I don't know how my retailers might feel about it, but you know, from my I'm not a retailer, so my perspective is, by all means, steal away.
But we should have Retailer X in here one day to let us know.
I think Retailer X would probably have a vastly different view to that question.
Every time that's the one thing. I mean, I'm still convinced I'm going to comic heaven instead of comic hell. But if there's one person that I feel like I'm stabbing in the back every time I read something, or every time I even walk into a Barnes & Noble, pick up a book, and consider buying it there, is Retailer X. I feel like I'm digging the knife in.
Look, Retailer X gets stabbed in the back, if you will, enough in Ohio.
But he'll be
in the bathhouses.
Oh, gee. He'll be happy to know how many times I've walked out of Barnes & Noble or one of the larger booksellers and just not been able to buy the book and put it down and said, I'll get it when I go home because I'd rather have, you know, him have my money than whoever owns Barnes & Noble.
You know, we all do that to a large extent, especially if we have a relationship with somebody like that. You know, even if it isn't necessarily the best deal for us, there is a certain amount of loyalty that you have to places and things.
So anyway,
I could get cheaper tacos. Yet I like Taco Bell.
Oh, you can get some grade D meat.
That's what I'm saying. Grade E, but edible.
So that's about all I want to say. I want to say, get out there and get reading, even if you're not paying for it.
Wow. Mr. Fantastic with a PSA.
Nice. Hey, Kev. When we're not here doing geek stuff, I'm busy writing for my website, collectiblebitsbox.com, where you can find all sorts of news and reviews on all your favorite toys and
Matt.
What?
Oh, come on, man. I know that you want to promote your site, collectiblebitsbox.com, with its in-depth reviews and articles and fun facts, but this is the
We also have a MySpace page.
Stop with the fucking self-promotion!
Sorry. CollectibleBitsBox.com.
Shut up!
Children behave. That's what they say.
So we're back from that little lost snippet, complete with Mr. Fantastic's completely gay introduction. So you can jeb on him all you want about that. But let's hit some of the hot points that we talked about tonight. We talked about Katie Holmes being a waste of used up flesh and how she will be, unfortunately, in the next Batman film. It's really kind of sad. I'm not excited about that.
Nope.
We also talked about Jon Favreau doing what he does with this Iron Man film. I do like that he's going with the costume choices that he's going with. One thing I didn't mention earlier that I just want to throw in there now, he did say that he wanted to put someone in the role of Iron Man that wasn't going to overshadow the character. Mm-hmm. Which means to me, no Tom Cruises or anything like that. It's going to be someone a little more low-key. And I think that's key also. I think that's very important. So we'll see. Marvel also hit upon the fact that they're doing another X-Men film. But like I said, none of the majors are signed on. It looks like a lot of the younger kids, the minor roles. It's going to be interesting to see what they do, if they'll get back any of the majors. Hopefully not Halle Berry. Hopefully Patrick Stewart. Maybe they'll bring in Emma Frost. Because like Fantastic said, although I'm starting to think he's a little gay, hot blonde if Emma Frost is in the movie. So, you know.
They have the hottest draw. I mean, if there's ever a hot drawing, it's the drawings of Emma Frost.
It is. She's a cutie with big cans and blue eyes. So, blonde hair, you know. It is what it is.
That's just weird. I'm sorry.
It's all right. And finally, you have to watch Who Wants to Be a Superhero. I don't care what you say. You have to. Have to watch Who Wants to Be a Superhero. Please just watch at least one episode and let me know what you think.
Will do.
All right. From there, we rolled right into the ExoForce and Legos and what they can do for us and what you can do with them and how great the line is and how creative the line is. And with a little bit of innovation, maybe you can really turn it into much more than just Legos.
Suck it up. Don't be embarrassed if you are 20 plus years of age. You have the money. Hopefully, go to the store and buy them.
I don't think if they're listening to this show, they're at the point of embarrassment. They've already accepted that part of their life. Just go buy the damn things. They're really cool. They're worth checking out. Definitely.
Good point.
After that, we hit upon our little lost segment there, and you know, I totally forgot that we had that went on. I kind of remember afterwards we had discussed that. You know, ooh, you were recording, you bastard, and you didn't let us know. But it was kind of interesting. That is a good topic. The availability of these books online is really good for people that are looking to break in or maybe catch up or even fill in some blanks and some holes. You definitely should look into it. It's out there. It's a resource. Use it.
I do have a follow-up with that, actually. I spoke to Retailer X last night,
mm-hmm.
and I brought up that subject with him, and he was completely cool with it. I told him how I felt like I was stabbing him in the back every time I woke up and I saw how many completed torrent files I had and how much I was seeding back, uploading, and he was completely cool with it. And then I bought a book and left, so.
Yeah. Well, you know, from his perspective, it's bringing you in the store in some capacity, so he's okay with it. As long as it's bringing a customer in and he's not completely losing out, then guys like Retailer X are going to be okay with it. And I think it helps the market, and so it helps him. And I think that's about it. That'll wrap up episode 20, our anniversary episode, even though it's not 20 years, but whatever. And this has been One Geek Shy, episode 20.
And on that note, we cue the music.
Lonely, I'm Mr. Lonely. I have nobody for my own. I'm so lonely. I'm Mr. Lonely. Wish I had someone to call on the phone. Now I'm a soldier, a lonely soldier, away from home, through no wish of my own. That's why I'm lonely. I'm Mr. Lonely. I wish that I could go back home. Letters, never a letter. I get no letters in the mail. I've been forgotten. Yeah, forgotten. Oh, how I wonder, how is it I fail? Now I'm a soldier, a lonely soldier, away from home, through no wish of my own. I'm lonely, I'm Mr. Lonely, I wish that I could.